That is the celebration of the adoption of Juneteenth as a federal holiday in the United States. I can't tell you how important this is. If you haven't watched the episode of Atlanta, in which they address this, I urge you to do so just to get yourself a quick, speedy update. But it is a particularly important day. Juneteenth, which just passed over the weekend, the 19th of June, happens to be the first day in 1865 in which African Americans in Galveston, Texas, were actually alerted to their freedom, the end of their enslavement. And it's so important to speak not just of slaves in America, but to speak of enslaved people, because they weren't slaves. They were artists, doctors, thespians, philosophers who were then enslaved. And I'm very excited this morning because I'm not actually the expert on this. And Emily Schaefer is the acting public affairs officer of the U.S. consulate in Cape Town and will give us a little bit more color around how Congress actually came to this decision. Emily, welcome to Breakfast with Refilia. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. I'm particularly happy about this policy development, and I'm so excited for what comes after. But let's start with this particular finding.
Sure. Thank you so much. Yes, as you said, you know, Juneteenth is it's a final. The celebration of when the last enslaved people were finally informed that they are free. Sometimes it's called Freedom Day, Jubilee Day. And it's actually a holiday in every state now but South Dakota. It's acknowledged as at least an official holiday. And on Thursday night, it was overwhelmingly passed by our Congress as a federal holiday. Only just a few members of Congress voted against, and mostly on the principle of, you know, calling it a second Independence Day, but right, overwhelmingly supported.
And that's a very rare occurrence, right? That we have across the aisle politically. I know Democrats obviously have the majority in the Congress, but it's just interesting that even Republicans were happy to sign this on.
Yes, and I think it's a reflection of the moment. It comes after, you know, a very turbulent year of protest where, you know, many more Americans than ever before had come out to protest racial inequality after the killing of George Floyd. It became something that many more households, you know, became engaged in, and thus our elected leaders. So I think it was the moment, and in fact, the Biden administration has I think really reflected this moment with many even additional executive orders on racial equity, on new policies on racial and ethnically motivated violence and extremism, which also have an international component, the policing reform. So it does reflect a change in our country, which I think is positive. Of the more that we're able to grapple with, talk about, engage with our history, I think the better in terms of healing and moving towards a more just society.
Emily, it's powerful for us, and I think it's particularly poignant at a time when one of our own, Linda Nimieni, was killed by Hawaiian officers. And as video evidence is emerging increasingly clearly, as an unarmed, and it was an unjust killing within the United States. And so it makes a big deal for us to realize that a killing, which I guess resonates the hangings of the time when Juneteenth came through, we are all, I guess, agreed that that is not how life should move forward. Out of interest, following the acknowledgement of Juneteenth as a federal holiday, what comes next from a policy perspective? What do we see with respect to policing, the pullback of policing funding, and a little bit of, I suppose, accountability within that structure across a federal perspective?
Right, thank you. Yes, I mean, we do have a very painful history, and as I said, very clear and demonstrated inequalities, systemic inequalities in justice, policing, education, health, wealth in our country. So, I mean, we're policymakers, citizens, civil society are dealing with all of this. You know, while we celebrate the Juneteenth holiday, there's still, you know, work being done at every level on these other inequities. Policing is in our country is very much a state level, state run portfolio. However, the Biden administration has uniquely, in fact, gone further ahead in pushing legislation, the George Floyd Police Reform Act, at the congressional level. Now, you know, whether it can pass at the Congress, you know, we'll have to see. But certainly the president and his administration are supportive of many of the reforms that some states have already enacted. Minnesota, for example, after the George Floyd killing, enacted bans on sort of chokeholds and legislation that says that other officers can't just be bystanders. If they do see excessive force, they must intervene. So state by state, things like that are happening.
That's great to hear. And you're right. It is unique in the Biden administration. Emily Schaefer, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to catching up with you again on various topics within the U.S. We know it's a friend to our country. And thank you very much for joining us. Acting Public Affairs Officer U.S. at the U.S. Consulate in Cape Town, Emily Schaefer.